Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What happens when you lock 18 coworkers in an office for 1 week to compete for $250,000 of cash? This is Surviving Barstool Season 5, presented by Rumble Premium. Each episode released 3 hours early, so get it ad-free before anyone else, only when you join Rumble Premium. Surviving Barstool premieres Sunday, August 9th at 5 p.m. on Rumble Premium. And everywhere else at 8 p.m.
To infinity and beyond!
The Lord tells me he can get me out of this mess, but he's pretty sure you're fucked.
That's why you fail.
You can't handle the truth!
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
Say hello to my new friend!
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Say what again? Say what again? I dare you! I double dare you, motherfucker! Say what one more goddamn time!
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
He hit our son!
Happy birthday, Polly.
Oh, no, I got me some. Well, I'm the Joker, baby!
Welcome to Lights, Camera, Barstool, episode 375. Jeff Lowe, Ken Jack, Troll Ballins. The Forever Purge episode. We hope all of you went out and saw the Forever Purge in theaters, because that's the movie we're going to talk about. We're really going to talk about the Purge as a whole. Which I didn't know up until about 5 minutes ago is not the last Purge movie. The sixth one's already in development.
Oh yeah. Well, wasn't this one named like the final Purge? And then they like, were like, we gotta keep milking it. I feel like it, maybe I'm making that up.
Yeah. So we'll do that. Then we're going to do, in no relation to the movie, we're going to do a draft of things that need to end / stop, things we want to just have stop forever. Could be a relation to this, could not be. Off the top, though, you noticed that was our regular theme song. Why, you ask? Well, we do have some news that will probably surprise you a little bit, but we're going to get it out of the way now because we're going to keep podcasting after that. September 5th, Sunday, September 5th, LCB will be a different podcast going forward. Our good friend and co-host, Troll Ballins, is finally hanging up the cleats.
Hanging up the Yeti blue microphone or whatever this is. And, you know, we'll get into more. I mean, there's another month left and all that. And I'll get emotional about receiving Ken Jack's gifts and, you know, Jeff and all that stuff. But, you know, I've been doing this for 4 years and I just do stuff and then move on. And it's time for me to move on. And that's that.
Anyone who listens to the pod, it's pretty obvious lately. Like, we've had some different dates and I haven't been on some, and it's just, you know, let's call a spade a spade. Troll doesn't work for, he does technically work for Barstool in a sense, but he's got a real job and a family and a kid. This was something that we've delayed for a while. And Troll has continued to just keep podcasting despite his very busy life. So unfortunately, the normal LCB will cease to exist because Ken Jack and I are going to try and recapture the magic. It's just not something, it's not worth it. We're still going to have a pod. This feed will have interviews still. We have some big interviews lined up. We have Steve Zahn next week. We have Henry Golding next week. Steve Zahn hopefully doesn't hate us next week. Hopefully we don't like fanboy out too much on Steve Zahn where he's like,
if Steve Zahn hated us, that would be the reason the podcast is ending.
The whole interview is going to be us just being like, what if you were in this movie?
We got Zond.
Who would you have played? And then on Thursdays in September, this pod will be a bracket podcast, and you'll have more on that to come. But we'll be breaking down like eight things, like a bracket of eight things. Could be fast food chains, soda, could be sports jerseys. It'll be on our YouTube channel as well. It's myself, Ken Jack, and then our coworkers, Nick KB, Stephen Che, and Owen. So it's a exciting thing. So you still get movie interviews, websites can exist, YouTube, all that shit. So we'll get more into it over the next month, but just have to rip the Band-Aid off the top. And the last movie that we're going to review as a whole is going to be a Marvel movie. So how about that? We're going to have Mr. Sunday Movies is going to come back on the next month. We'll have Coley back. We'll have a bunch of people who've been on the pod before before we close out here. So
yeah, and I mean that's part of the reason is, I mean, you guys are going to kickstart a new thing, and I just, you know, I'm not giving you time, but you know, staying on, we have more time to develop that. And again, all this is really awkward to talk about, but
also yeah. We can call this like a retirement tour. So
yeah, it's like when Kiss, you know, when they get Kiss together again, and they're just all out there standing in one place at the stage and playing Detroit Rock City. It's just like that.
It's like, well, rest in peace, Kobe Bryant, but also like Jeter, like when they would go to ballparks and they would get like pretty shitty gifts that they probably weren't going to keep. It's like, oh, here's a jar of dirt from Fenway. It's like, all right.
Yeah, here's a glass series, panel. Right? Here's a glass panel from the Toronto Stadium Hotel windows in the outfield.
Yeah, but that's kind of cool though. I would maybe want that. All right, so more on that to come. Just had to say it off the top, and we'll just do normal stuff. We're gonna have fun. We can do some definitive drafts and rankings. But today, the Forever Purge. And our draft at the end. What's going on other than that? What's happening? Ken Jack, I believe you are traveling this weekend.
Yeah, I'm going to Phoenix for the finals on Saturday, which should be fun. Hopefully a closeout game, but that's going to depend on tonight, which is all I can think about now.
Saturday.
Yeah.
What's the series, 2-1? It's 2-1, right?
It's 2-1. If it's 3-1 after this, I get to see him close out.
Big sports guy right here.
Mm-hmm.
NBA Finals is always a wackier schedule, though, because they actually do give them a little bit of rest, so it's tougher to, like, it's not just an every-other-day basis thing. I mean, that'd be sick. Have you been to Phoenix?
Yeah, but only when I was younger. This would be, like, the first time, like, I would say as a much more conscious adult than, like, when I'm, like, 5. I feel like that doesn't count.
Cool city. There's a Dave & Buster's by the Arizona Cardinals Stadium. Nowhere near where the Suns play, but...
Their airport's right next to the stadium, which is kind of nice. It's like a 10-minute Uber, if that. Which is
great,
sick.
Great airport there, Sky Harbor.
Yeah, Sky Harbor try and is such a work cool way to get to Vegas at some point during that as well, because it's not like that crazy far of a flight away. It's like probably if I'm taking a Ryanair flight that I might die on, it'll like cost me like $30. See if I can get that out of the way too.
Ryanair, is it a Ryanair show with an E? Am I wrong on that?
It's not like Ryan Johnson.
Not at all.
Ryan.
It's just spelled one word, Ryanair, R-Y-A-N-A-I-R.
I still remember, I never studied abroad. Did you guys study abroad when you were in college?
No.
I did that. I did the Olympics thing, but that wasn't really studying abroad. I didn't even see fucking London. I never saw anything there.
Were you in college for those Olympics?
Yeah, I was between my junior and senior year of college.
That just gave me another wrinkle.
The Olympics is going to stink this year, by the way. That's a whole different story for a different discussion.
There's a lot of, yeah, I don't know. But I remember somebody like studied abroad and came back and was like telling me about Ryanair. It's like, it's the coolest thing. And I looked it up and I'm like, I guess sucks. it's like the actual
coolest.
I mean, I guess the concept of like being able to affordably travel is really cool, but it's like, you know, you're not paying for the experience. You're paying to get to a different place, which I approve of, but like airline travel in general is too pleasant. So I don't know.
There's a sex scene happening behind me on TV. Can you see that?
Hell yeah.
Is that in frame right now? That's sex in the city, I think.
Oh yeah.
That's
Kristen. Oh my God. She's getting railed out.
That's Kristen Davis's character, right? That's Charlotte. What was her name?
Me turn. Yeah. Is that Kyle McClanahan, right?
Kyle McLaughlin.
Yeah, dude, he's fucking, oh my God.
He's got that front bang hair, you know, that was
popular
like 15 years ago.
Damn, dude, he's railing around. Wait, what were you saying before that? Sorry, I forgot.
We should just have this entire like Sex and the City commentary stream where like to avoid copyright infractions, it's just playing in the background. You like double mirror. That would definitely cause a copyright infraction.
I'm still not over Mr. Big not being in the new season, but
that's fucked.
Is it didn't they release a promo photo for that?
They did.
It's like the gang's back together except for the one who's the best.
The gang's here, but like it's like not really all of them though. It's like some of the gang.
We got Seinfeld with no Jerry. Isn't that great? Everyone loves that.
You know the character that everyone loved the most on that show and talked about the most when the show was airing? They're gone. Anyway, hope you're excited.
I remember when they did the Full House reboot. I remember there was like a viral thing where they're like Full House reboot, like what is it? Is it DJ's boyfriend Steve It's like, Steve's dead. And then they came back like, yeah, Steve like died or something. Oh shit. Like the character, they literally killed the character.
Yeah.
I'm like, pretty sure that happened in Fuller House.
Well, that's why I think she moved back and they all moved in together. It was kind of like how they reunited. But that was also like the Fuller House thing was weird because the big question that everyone knew the answer from the top was that, like, would the Olsen twins be involved at all? And the answer is no, because they've made so much money from fashion and I don't blame them, but they weren't going to be in it. But that was like the same thing. It was like, that's the void. That was the most memorable thing about Full House, right? Like the Michelle character and her little quips.
You got it, dude. Yeah.
It certainly wasn't like a Dave Coulier busting out the Bullwinkle impersonation.
The Olsen twins each are worth $250 million. From Thoreau.
You could throw in, how much is Elizabeth Olsen worth?
Both are worth, the Olsen twins are worth each $250 million. Let's see, Elizabeth Olsen net worth. I would imagine somewhere, I don't know, I want to say 40s. Does that seem too low?
Yeah. No, I mean,
it's too high, actually. That's 12.
I mean, it's still a lot. Yeah, but
those things are never right, though.
No.
Those sites, like,
well, our coworker. For those who are not aware, we have a baseball coworker, Jared the Rocket Carabas. His net worth, if you Google it, I believe is they took it down. It used to say 79 million, something like that, like 80 million or like 75 million. I forget. It was a lot, though. It was a lot. Yeah. Movies coming out soon. Actually, Ken Jack and I can talk about a movie, so I'm going to do it now.
Yeah.
So we tweeted about seeing a movie like a month ago, almost like three weeks ago. And we were one of three people in the theater, not including the security people, watching in a 1,000-seat IMAX theater, The Suicide Squad from James Gunn. We can't give a score or anything, and we'll review that in August. But I fucking loved it. I loved it. It was awesome.
Yeah, no, that was a ton of fun. That I think is going to go down as the best DCEU. I know that's not a real term, but the best DCEU movie by far.
I agree.
It was so much fun, really, really snappy. The characters are great and definitely a tremendous improvement on Suicide Squad. Not that that's a massive bar to clear.
I think my only like mild complaint would be probably could have tightened it up just a hair, but honestly, it's really good. It's like vivid color wise. The way the story is told, it kind of whips you around, and I won't really give any spoilers there, but it kind of whips you around and you're really on the edge of your seat. Like they teased it. Like James Gunn said, like people didn't even get the full scripts because they got their script until their character dies. Like they've said, like people are going to die. There's some fucked up shit. And we talked to Joel Kinnaman about it. He said it's a hard R rating. He was right. Holy shit.
It's not joking at all there.
It is as R-rated as R-rated gets, like that type of movie. So it just really is like as R, like I don't think you could really get more gory and crazy than that for like what they show. So awesome movie. We're also reviewing Space Jam soon. We haven't put our scores up yet on movierankings.net, and I honestly don't even really know what to rate it yet. One of the weirdest movies I've ever seen in my life. We'll talk more about it, I think, this weekend, right? I think that's when it comes out. Yeah, July 16th.
I read some pretty scathing reviews about it.
Well, but some have been very positive. And it's a kids movie, and I think kids will like it. But there's a couple things that we'll get into. It's fucking 2 hours long, man. It's like the basketball game is like an hour long. But my thing is this, and Richard Roper just put up a review. We had to have Richard Roper on before September. He said, I've never seen anything like it. And that's a great little snippet because I really couldn't believe it. I've never seen a movie so clearly meddled with by the studio than that movie. Remember they had like some production. We talked to Malcolm D. Lee. So I came in, like, you know, I worked with it. It was the challenge. And like, I think I know what the challenge was. Like, I mean, the original is 88 minutes. This movie's so much longer and you can feel it, but I said it's Warner Brothers, the commercial, the movie. That's really what it feels like.
It's a 2.5 hour long LeBron James / Warner Brothers commercial, which is very odd. So I saw it described as Ready Player One, except only Warner Brothers. And I think that's probably the best way to honestly put it. It's bizarre. There's no comparison really other than that.
I read somewhere that Bugs Bunny doesn't show up till like 40 minutes into the movie.
No,
I'm trying. That might be okay. Right. Yeah, I'm that might through, be true.
I mean, it's a two-hour movie, so you know he's still in a lot of the
movies. There are moments where, like, I was like, "Oh fuck, it's a LeBron movie." It's like, "Oh right,
yeah,
it's about LeBron."
Like anytime you can take Granny and use her to parody The Matrix, you got to do it.
And Porky Pig rap. Don't forget,
kids will like it.
Classic.
Kids will like it. I think it is fun. It's got a cool mess, like all that. Like that's fine. It's you can tell how much Warner Brothers is like, this is a vehicle for our properties, which it was kind of crazy. It was crazy.
They're just like, hey Disney, please buy us too.
It was bizarre. That was I think you're right on that. Like kids are gonna like it because they're gonna see like, hey, look, there's Bugs Bunny and Harry Potter hanging out or whatever. Like that's cool. Yeah, sure. But like as an adult, like I think the sort of charm shittiness of the first Space Jam is lost in this one and becomes commercial shittiness, which is a whole different level of shittiness.
I can see that. I think the advantage to being a kid is like the last movie you saw is always the best movie you've ever seen. So, you know, this is going to be the favorite movie for some kids for a while. And that's cool. I mean, it's a kid's movie, but look, yeah, we've always said, like, I don't think we've been too pro of a Space Jam podcast, right? Like I've always said, I think people are remembering Space Jam through the rose tinted glasses. And I think most people will agree to that. I don't think that's a hot take, but the original Space Jam, like had this, at least it was like experimental in some way, right? Like we're going to take Michael Jordan, who's the most famous athlete. Well, let's just say he's the most famous athlete in the United States ever. And we're going to put him in a movie with Sylvester the Cat. And let's just see how it works. And it worked because it was honestly a huge marketing event. Just like everything else Michael Jordan is attached to is gigantic. And this one just feels like it's like trying to replicate something, but it's also trying to replicate something. And I haven't seen it, by the way, with like a more modern touch. And I think it nails that in the sense that it's just the aggregation of a lot of brand synergy in one movie. And what could be more 2021 than that?
My one weird, like, it's not like bottom of the barrel. It really isn't. And some people have fun with it. And like, I still like enjoy watching it, but there were times like, what the fuck, this is still going. It's definitely a kid's movie, so I will sit there and I will defend it in that sense. But there are things where people are like, oh, this is a fun, it's a fun kids thing. There are some things where I'm like, oh, man, it's definitely, and we talked about it in an interview, like it's definitely marketed to an older crowd as well, though. Like it's not, I don't know, it's weird. It's a weird, I need to watch it again when it comes out. We watch it on a screener and you can only, you know, you got like the watermark on the screen. Just, we're gonna probably see in theaters and then we'll talk about it on Sunday. That'll be our next review, I believe. But weird, man. I'm very excited for you to see a trill. That's what I'll say.
Like you said, like Malcolm D. Lee, like the whole production behind that probably has a lot of interesting stories just in terms of satisfying the parent company and all. But if I would have made it like half, if I was doing like Warner Brother properties, like half of the movie would have been basically Interview with the Vampire, but with the Looney Tunes. So they probably did a better job than I would have. There would be absolutely no basketball. it just would be Bugs Bunny as Lestat.
This episode brought to you in part by Paint Your Life. Great, great website to get an awesome gift. You want to get a birthday gift, wedding gift, anniversary gift. Especially like you get older, you realize like, gosh, shit, you got to get something unique, something a little personal. Paintyourlife.com, exactly how you think it'd be spelled, PaintYourLife.com. Fantastic place to go, not expensive. You get a great professional hand-painted portrait, any photo you want, affordable price. Got a dog, got a family, group of friends, a great place. I don't know, a fucking picture of Nick Cage. I don't know. Do whatever you want. You get a team of world-class artists. And they work with them. They work with you, until little details are all ironed out, like every little part of it. You work with these artists, user-friendly platform. You can make these custom hand-painted portraits, less than 5 minutes, get it all set up, easy process. 3 weeks, you get the painting back. Any picture, anything you want, multiple photos. perfect birthday gift, anniversary, wedding gift. It's very cool. Not that I was skeptical. I'm like, I'll see what this is. It's awesome. Meaningful, personal, unique experience here to give as a gift. Paintyourlife.com, no risk. If you don't love the final painting, your money completely refunded too. Guaranteed. And right now, limited time offer, 20% off your painting as well. 20% off, free shipping, special offer. Text this, L-I-G-H-T-S, text the word lights, L-I-G-H-T-S, to 64000, 64-000. That's lights, L-I-G-H-T-S, to 64-000. Paint your life, celebrate the moments that matter the most. That's what they want you to know. Terms apply, available at paintyourlife.com/terms. Text lights to 64-000. It is a very cool gift to get for people. Let's talk trailers and stuff. Actually, no, let's talk Loki.
So good.
Wow. Spoilers for Loki. Big time spoilers. So we kind of expected to be stunned, right? In like WandaVision. Maybe not as much Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Like, what did you expect with Falcon and the Winter Soldier? You expected, like, you knew he'd become Captain America. But like, even while, like, you expected to be, I was stunned with Loki today. I think a lot of people predicted that Kang the Conqueror would show up. Kang is going to be the main villain in Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania. He's a time multiverse villain, likely to be a candidate to be the next Thanos in the MCU. I figured we would get like a post-credit scene. He was already cast. Jonathan Majors playing him. I did not think we'd get Jonathan Majors the whole fucking episode. Now, he didn't play the exact Kang the Conqueror. He played a variant of the character. You can go deep dive on the character. I'm even learning more now. I kind of did a deep dive when the casting happened. So if you knew that happened, when you see him pop up in this episode, when that door opened, I don't know what you guys thought was going to pop out. I thought it'd just be another Loki. I was like, oh, it's another Loki. It was Jonathan Majors. I was like, holy fucking shit. Jesus, yeah. They revealed the next big bad in a Disney Plus series. And for anyone saying that these series weren't going to be that crazy, I mean, this was fucking huge.
Yeah, I don't think I expected it to be Kang just yet. And it wasn't Kang necessarily either, which Mortis, is something, yeah, I think lost on a lot of people as well. But obviously this is huge because he is a character that we're going to get more of. His also, another thing, like his performance as He Who Remains, like Jonathan Majors, might not be the performance we get as him in Kang the Conqueror in Ant-Man Quantumania. If he ends up being in Multiverse of Madness, he might be a different version of Kang, because there's a trillion versions of Kang. He might end up in some of the other ones as well. We have no clue. Like, this might be the treat of the century for an actor, because like essentially for him, he gets to like chew up the role as like this version of He Who Remains, and they get to do a totally different character in Kang the Conqueror for Ant-Man, which is awesome. I thought he was fantastic in this version that he played. I also think that this is an episode where I realized, like, I was like, I think for Phase 4, looking for like the new Thanos more or less. And I think now the more we get into this, like, I was thinking like multiverse is like a more of like a setting, right? Like it's whatever, it's just going to be an element in play. But like, I feel like the multiverse is essentially going to be our big bad. You know what I mean? Like that's the big thing. Like that's the one everyone's going to be fighting like essentially against. So I think that's more of our villain more than a guy like Kang or Gore the God Butcher or any of these other guys. I think that actual multiverse aspect and trying to fight to close it to get the regular flow of time resumed, I think that is going to be our big bad more or less. And it's going to be more conceptual than it is direct like Thanos.
Yeah. So if you want to learn more about this character, look up Nathaniel Richards, many variations. He Who Remains is who we had here, though people are saying it could be like a combo with also another one, Immortus. But Kang the Conqueror is kind of like the variant that people expect. And the one that I believe was teased at the end, I actually think our good friend Michael Waldron, who's going to be on the pod soon, in the next month or so, I guess in the next month. But he gave an interview with Marvel.com and talked about it and said, look, it just made sense for us to introduce him here at this point. He said he's going to talk more about finding out that his show would introduce the next big bad. But I guess the last version of Nathaniel Richards we see, that is Kang the Conqueror in the multiverse or dimension where Mobius, Owen Wilson's character, is that he realizes he's in a different timeline or different universe than he was in previously. So again, it was crazy. I thought his performance was fucking awesome as He Remains. It was very Joker and Willy Wonka-esque. That was the vibe
I
got.
So fun. It was so fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was fun. That's what this whole, like, you know, like I've talked about it, I was a little slow to catch up. I tried to do a better job, but like I actually got into it, which like, I mean, everybody's getting into it because it's good, but like it's this one actually exceeded my expectations. Like, and like WandaVision exceeded my expectations, but like I had different expectations for Loki just because it's Loki and all that. But it exceeded my expectations, and getting that season two teaser was fantastic too. Cause I didn't think that was going to happen. I thought this was a one and done type deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agreed. I didn't expect a second season either, but I think it was almost necessary and preordained just based off the way that the season ended. Like that was not a conclusive, I think, finale. That was more of a cliffhanger finale, which just demands a second season. So that's awesome that they trusted them with that. And I can't wait to see more, because I do think the character of Loki, and this is something we said before Loki even started, is just intrinsically so much more interesting, especially since we were able to, like, you know, go right off the bat into the character instead of having to build up all this exposition for his character and all of that shit, because we kind of knew who he was. And at the same time, still getting a little bit of introspection with like all the multiverse Lokis, which is sick. I can't wait to see more.
General question, Jeff, Kenjay. So they build up this next phase of the MCU. I don't know how many phases they're going to go, but we're going to get another culmination event again, right? Like in the same way Endgame.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, in the same way that was a culmination event, those two movies were.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Waldron's got to be the guy, right? Or the person.
Yeah, at least one of them, yeah.
He joked with us. He was dubbed as the franchise whisperer. He's going to be working with Feige on a Star Wars movie. I mean, yeah, to be given the keys to introduce the big bad. And like like Kendrick said, there's so many incarnations in ways that Nathaniel Richards can be portrayed. He's from the 31st century in comics, like long distant relative of Reed Richards from Fantastic Four, Dr. Doom. Like there's so many ties with what's to come that it's awesome. And it's cool that we fucking know the guy who's going to be doing this. We're not going to grill him too much about it when he comes on. I'm sure he's going to get plenty of interviews before that, but I'm excited to see what he kind of talks about in terms of doing that. Cause look, I think we expected these shows to have an impact. Elizabeth Olsen gave an interview too. She's like, you're going to need to really see WandaVision to see Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness. And we figured that they would be impactful, but to this level, like to the level where you introduce the next Thanos, and not even that, like at the end, blow open the fucking multiverse. Like The multiverse ripped open at the end. That was crazy. Also, the beginning episode when they had all the little, all the dialogue from different Mars, that was fucking awesome.
Yeah, it was like when they did it in Rise of Skywalker, except actually cool this time.
it was sick. Yeah, it was just a different twist on that.
Yeah, it was funny. It's funny hearing like a fucking like Paul Bettany as WandaVision talk, and then directly followed up by Nelson Mandela.
Yes.
I love that.
I don't know. Like, I don't want to hype it up too much. I mean, there's a lot of film to go in this next phase. If you go out to like Guardians of the Galaxy and the Fantastic Four in 2023. There's a lot of, you know, movies and Eternals and stuff. So I don't want to hype up like the culmination of that. I just want to start calling it.
That's yeah, but I mean, I think it's clear that Kang is going to be involved in that culmination event, whatever it may be. Also, we are definitely going to get a Spider-Man trailer very soon. I think now that they reveal the multiverse is ripped open, people now believe, for those who doubted, that there'd be different characters. I think we'll see that soon. I imagine we don't see the other Spider-Men in the first trailer. But I also know, I tweeted this today, the Spider-Man Far From Home, No Way Home trailer is going to be the most watched trailer of all time. Easy.
That's going to be crazy.
The fucking hype on that is going to be absurd. Mm-hmm. I just think it's going to be a Marvel, like, it's going to be tough to beat Endgame and Infinity War, but the hype around it right now is so crazy. And Loki being, what, the most watched show on Disney Plus? Like, it's just, yeah. It's going to be.
Yeah. It's gonna be yeah, nuts. I guess that makes sense.
Gonna be nuts. So that's Loki. Check it out. Season finale. Oh, Michael Waldron's gonna come on, though. He's gonna come on to talk about other things too. We're not just gonna grill him on Loki. We're gonna do alternate universe sports things. So
what's the current most watched trailer?
It's Endgame, I believe. It's Endgame, Infinity War that I believe Fast 9.
The
most viewed trailers is measured by most views in the first 24 hours.
It's Endgame.
Yeah, Endgame, Infinity War, then The Lion King.
Oh, and then It. That's right. I forgot It. At one point, It held the title for most viewed trailer in 24 hours.
Good for them.
The
Clown Man.
Top videos, top 10 most viewed videos online in the first 24 hours. Wikipedia page, number 8, excluding film and film trailers and music videos, Chewbacca Mask Lady.
24 Payne. Hours, really?
Holding steady at number 8. And that's all the way back to 2016.
Shit. People forget how big of a fucking deal. God, fucking, what a...
I didn't realize that was within that fast of her posting it. It wasn't that funny.
She stinks.
I don't. Stinks. It was funny. It was funny when it came out, Jeff.
The video was fine. She stinks, though.
I don't know.
PU. No, I'm telling you right now, definitively. PU. P fucking U.
Let's keep the vibe positive.
She was the worst. She was the worst guest I met on that show. If you told me who was the least pleasant person to walk through the doors at your last job, I would tell you right now it was the Chewbacca mom. The arrogance, man.
The video is funny.
This is the only defense.
That's the only defense.
If you have a funny video, you can be a dick.
Yeah. All right, I'll drop it. She's not on my list.
I went viral.
The number 9 most viewed video is Winterfell, like the Game of Thrones episode. That's such a interesting list of most viewed videos.
Is it Winterfell was the 8th season premiere?
God. Number 10 is massive pillow chair and from interior design on Facebook. What a bizarre list.
Well, some of these Double World is...
How about Taylor Swift, me being the only non-K-pop video in top 10 most viewed music videos in 24 hours?
Wait, which one?
Me with Brendan Urie, the one that was
that was very hyped up. But like all these K-pop videos, I still love, like they played Dynamite during the All-Star game last time, song. Like one of the commercial breaks. That song like makes me feel good.
I love that song, dude. It's like chemically engineered to make like positive brainwaves. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Well, BTS. Moving on. Next up, Emmy nominations. I don't know if I really like. I don't talk about Emmy nominations.
There wasn't anything like crazy. You know, there was a few snubs. The what do you call it? The one weird one.
Anthony Starr.
No. The one big weird one I think was the Don Cheadle getting one for Falcon the Winter Soldier. Like people were so confused. They're like, was he even in it? Because he was in such a short spot and really didn't do anything.
Yeah, because it's a guest nomination though, right? Yeah. Like, it's not a full on.
No, not like a full cast member, yeah. You know what I mean? But he was like in it so briefly and so uneventfully that like people were legitimately confused. Like they were like, why is he on this? He wasn't in the show. But he was for 20 seconds and didn't do anything.
How excited do you think the people at Apple TV were that were like, we got a show. We got our show, guys.
Unbelievable. Everybody. That it's fucking Ted Lasso. It's incredible. And he had a bunch of really like awesome quotes this week. Because mm-hmm. Ted Lasso season 2 is very close to debuting. He had a lot of really awesome quotes because obviously he went through like a weird divorce with Olivia Wilde or split with Olivia Wilde where now she's dating, very publicly dating Harry Styles. And he's just giving quotes and people are like, we love this guy. And he gave a couple, like really a couple quotes. Like you're like, damn, that tugs on the heartstrings. This guy, he sounds like Ted Lasso at this point. It's crazy.
He's winning it. Winning the divorce, making her look like a groomer, even though he's like 28.
I think the thing is the divorce seems pretty amicable and like from what, you know, what the way it makes it sounds like they're doing the best thing for the kids. But I think there is like, look, Harry Styles is an attractive man. And I think there is a lot of like, you know, like people kind of like everybody's gone through that sort of thing. Right. So I you know, I don't know. But I think Jason Sudeikis in general, just in terms of like general likability, it seems like, you know, he seems pretty up there on the likable scale from like what we know about his public persona.
Which, and I'm hearing season 2 is awesome, which is also very good to hear, by the way, because that's one thing that would devastate me if season 2 was like just some giant flop for Ted Lasso, because it's such a good show.
They got a fucking slew of nominations and all honestly very well deserved. Also, Kenan Thompson got nominated for the show Kenan. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that debuted yet.
No, Kaminsky Method got methods. Kaminsky's show does have methods, but they got nominations too. They're back at it.
I'm happy for Keenan to break away from SNL and go get an Emmy nom. That's cool.
The shocking nomination for me was Max Minghella and Handmaid's Tale. And I'm not like...
You're the number one Max Minghella hater.
I like him. I just think like he has he has a character he plays. No, I didn't like him as the villain in a Saw movie because he doesn't have that like villainous nature or whatever to him. But in Handmaid's Tale, he's like he's fine, but he's like barely in the show.
It's weird. Well, dude, one of our favorite shows got some nominations too.
Yeah, The Crown.
Crown always is going to kill. Same with Queen's Gambit. If you have a British show, like there's a 90% chance you're going to get nominated at the Emmys. But no, one of our favorite shows, Emily in Paris.
The Kaminsky Method, the show we all watch that exists.
No, that show doesn't exist. Emily in Paris, though, they got, I think, two nominations. And I was like, I think I just tweeted, like, how the fuck do they keep getting nominations this award season? The show is so bad. And someone tweeted me an article, like the producer of the show flew the Emmy voters to France for like some special screening.
Well, Hamilton getting nominations, 8 of them, mind you, is
three in one category.
That's so fucked up.
Like, three for supporting actor. Get the fuck out of here.
Like, come on. Like, what are we doing here? WandaVision got 8. They got all acting stuff, but it was Ted Lasso that led the way with 13 nominations. So
that's the best part about streaming is it like blurs the lines of these different categories because you would never in a million years, like, I guess you can definitely define Hamilton as, you know, winning or being nominated for an Emmy based upon the criteria you want to define it as, but a recorded production of a Broadway musical aired on a streaming service seems like a little, I don't know, like what do you even classify that as? So maybe the Emmys is a fine place for it. I don't know. Also, Jean Smart hacks. She better win that shit.
She got multiple nominations.
Gene Smart needs to win all the awards.
She got two. She got one for Mare of Easttown.
And forget how good she was. Don't forget how good she was in Watchmen, too.
Exactly. She's just great in HBO shit in general. But I think so for Hamilton, in Outstanding Supporting Actor in a Limited Series Movie, they got 3. Diggs, Groff, and Ramos all nominated, which means one of them is going to win. And I think it's going to be Diggs because he's probably the best of those 3. I would guess, anyway, to the Emmy voters, right?
What he was the supporting actor in a limited series. Yeah. I mean his dual role in Hamilton is a show stealing sort of role. So it wouldn't surprise me there. Ramos is great, but he doesn't have the stage time that Diggs does in Hamilton. So I'm not sure.
I couldn't see it going to Groff if like Diggs is still on this table. Like Evan Peters, like I think Evan Peters was good out of type in Mare of Easttown, but not like, holy shit, this guy's like, this is award season shit right here. You know what I mean?
I still remember that meme.
What No Pussy does to an MF with just him with a bullet hole in his head.
I mean, like one of the, that was a very gut-wrenching twist in that show, I will admit.
Yeah, that was good.
But you knew it was coming because the episode was like, hey, like what if this guy was happy for 40 minutes?
Well, by the way, No Small X Noms is crazy. I think you turned me on to that show, right, Tro? Or Anthology, I guess you have to call it.
What would No? I don't think I did, man.
Oh, who was it then? I don't know. But it's the John Boyega British-based one. It's fucking awesome. That's an Amazon Prime one I just assumed was like an awards darling, but didn't get anything, which is nuts. That one was crazy.
We're also noting, and the timing was interesting with Jonathan Majors, that Lovecraft County got a ton of nominations.
They got canceled, didn't they?
And it got canceled. Yeah, it didn't get picked up. And people were, I think, pretty irritated about that.
I believe the guy who from Bridgerton, who's like their lead actor, he also, I believe, got not like kicked off the show. I think he left the show in the middle of like their next season production. And he's that got nominated as well, which is crazy. It's just weird how that works.
Outstanding guest actor in a comedy series nominations: Alec Baldwin, Saturday Night Live; Dave Chappelle, Saturday Night Live; Daniel Kaluuya, Saturday Night Live; Dan Levy, Saturday Night Live; and then Morgan Freeman for Kaminsky Method, rounding out the list.
Oh God! Did you see Outstanding Variety Sketch Series? Saturday Night Live obviously nominated. No, I think you should leave it to Tim Robinson. I think that's fucked. At this point, just gotta nominate them.
Yeah.
I know it's off the beaten path, but like what sketch show not named SNL is getting as much love as I Think You Should Leave, you know?
Well, I mean, SNL SNL is just kind of there. They're going to get nominations because they're SNL, but I think You Should Leave is the season one would have fallen in this nomination list, right? Like,
I believe
it was
so, yeah.
At least like a year ago. Yeah, that's surprising.
That's craziness. Second season is also very funny. I know we talked about it already, but it was so good.
I keep saying Lovecraft County. It's definitely Lovecraft Country. County Country. Is like the prequel. Yeah.
Jeff was like, we're not going to talk about Emmy nominations and we go on for 40 minutes and discuss every
well, I'm glad we did it in a more compact way as opposed to just going through all of them. So that was good. That was a success. Episode brought to you by Credit Karma. That's right. Credit Karma, always there to help you make better financial decisions. And now I want to help even more. Credit Karma money spend account. You can be rewarded for good money habits. Who doesn't want that? With Credit Karma money, you can win cash reimbursements for debit purchases. That's right. It's how it works. Credit Karma, brand new checking account. Credit Karma money, excuse me, brand new checking account where you can win cash reimbursements for making purchases. When you use your Credit Karma money debit card, you can win daily instant karma purchase reimbursements on items to up to $5,000. Just pay with your debit card. If you win, you'll be notified on the spot. And your instant karma cash will be added to your spend account. Credit Karma money has also given away over $3 million in instant karma already to over 50,000 Credit Karma members and counting. So open up your spend account for free. No minimum balance requirements. No overdraft fees. No you get free withdrawals from a network of over 50,000 ATMs. All that's fucking great. And only through July 23rd, when you make a purchase, you'll be automatically entered to win $1 million. Ooh, big bucks. Credit Karma, progress starts here. Right now, visit Credit Karma, CreditKarma.com/winmoney, CreditKarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Go to CreditKarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning. That's CreditKarma.com/winmoney. Instant karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusion terms apply. See rules. Banking service provided by MVB Bank, Inc., member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply. Moving on, couple trailers here. First clip for The French Dispatch from Wes Anderson. Got a standing ovation at Cannes Film Festival this weekend. Great. You see what we tweeted out, by the way? We tweeted out that there was a 43-minute standing ovation for Hotel Transylvania 4.
Mm-hmm.
Love that. Love doing stuff like good that.
The Blob character's back. Everybody loves The Blob.
Owen
Nobody
Wilson,
knows The Blob's name, but everybody
Elizabeth
loves
Moss,
it.
Benicio del Toro, Timothy Chalamet, Tilda Swinton, Saoirse Ronan, Francis McDormand, Bill Murray, Ed Norton, Willem Dafoe, Christoph Waltz, Adrian Brody, Liev Schreiber, Henry Winkler. 9-minute standing ovation. A love letter to journalists set in an outpost of an American newspaper in a fictional 20th century French city that brings to life a collection of stories published in the French Dispatch. Coming out October 16th. The reviews are as Wes Anderson-y as they get. The clip was what I expected. It's one of those classic things. Like, I like Wes Anderson, so I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to read this one review. The guy Brian Formo from Fandango said, "The French Dispatch is a flood of words and details. You can be overwhelmed or just go with it and get swept away. This is a pretty big statement, but it's the best-looking film Wes Anderson has ever made, mixing black and white, animation, pastels, miniatures, and even sexuality."
Why even sexuality?
I mean, Wes
why is that the weirdest part?
Wes Anderson has done sexuality before,
yeah,
too. But, you know, like, look, when we started this podcast, like, I would feel like at least one of the first 20 films we talked about was The Isle of Dogs. And a big part of that conversation, and it was like me reconciling Wes Anderson with all the Wes Anderson I've seen. And, like, you know, it's only been like 4 years or whatever, but he has his thing and he's going to do his thing. And I think that's very respectable. And therefore I'm excited for it. Like, he's not going to deviate from what got him here.
I think there's some directors out there where, like, you can be like, oh, I like this thing that they do. I like some other thing that they do. I didn't like that. But, like, there's certain directors out there where I think people are all in or all out. And I think Wes Anderson's one of those guys. So I do think that if you like Wes Anderson, there's almost no way you're going to dislike this movie. I haven't even seen a whiff of it outside of that 1 second clip of seeing Timothy Chalamet's covered up penis. But other than that, I think it's going to be good. It's going to be exactly what you want if you're a Wes Anderson fan. And that's totally fine.
Yeah. You know, what's your guys' favorite Wes Anderson movie?
Bottle Rocket.
I think it might be Rushmore for me, but Bottle Rocket's pretty damn good.
They're both good. I really like the earlier stuff.
Oh, you mean Wes Anderson, not...
Not Paul Wes Anderson.
Paul Wes Anderson.
Resident Evil 2, obviously.
Brady Anderson, the former Orioles.
My favorite's probably Fantastic Mr. Fox, but my rankings top three would go Moonrise, Budapest, Fantastic Mr. Fox. Favorite's probably Fantastic Mr. Fox, though. Also have the Criterion for that movie.
They should collab Wes Anderson and Pamela Anderson. I don't know what they could do, but there's something there. Or PTA. And there's too many director Andersons. How about PTA, Wes Anderson, and Paul Wes Anderson, all three of them make a movie together? Or an anthology. That's it. An anthology of the Andersons. Gillian Anderson, too. Great actress. Throw her in there. Anthony Anderson could direct one. Like Louis Anderson could do one. There's so many Andersons. What the fuck?
Mr. Anderson.
Who's the guy from Workaholics? Anders?
Anders, yeah.
Anders Holm.
Anders Holm, yes.
Anders Holm. That's a stretch, but we could get it.
I saw him.
Anders is someone's son.
Shit faced on Sixth Street in Austin like 8 years ago. It's awesome.
What was he there? Was he like just randomly, or were
you? Yeah,
he was
just going out.
Southwest,
just out on the town. Well, no, it was in the middle of the summer. Took pictures of everybody. He made goofy faces. Yeah.
The point in which Workaholics was at its height, if I saw Durs, I would absolutely be like the worst sort of fan in the world. I'd be like, holy shit, dude. Remember that scene in Workaholics where you did this? I'd be the worst. The absolute worst.
My favorite episode, it probably wouldn't shock anybody.
Of Workaholics?
Yeah.
What, the Chris D'Elia one?
Now the Ocean's 11 one where they try to break all the Costco products out of the cabinets in the break room.
Oh, yeah.
They're wearing the Kirkland pants. Yeah, those are just all my interests aligned.
Jillian Bell was so good in that show.
I already got a preview of the Anderson anthology, and there's only one miss, and that was Gary Anderson's.
What a small niche football reference.
That's a good one.
Gary Anderson's well known.
Yeah,
that was a good one. That was a good one.
Pardon my take.
The whole thing takes place in Anderson, Indiana.
This is great. Oh, no, we need to make the Anders anthology. We need to get the connects. There's too many Andersons in the film.
Anderson anthology.
Yeah, that just sounds like a crappy boutique place.
Do you think they're going to do like a Workaholics like movie?
They shouldn't. They just did the fucking Game Over Man or whatever. It was like the same exact group. And that was very aggressively below average.
Lonely Island needs to do something again.
That I agree with. I was just talking about Popstar because I was talking to someone else about Hot Rod, and damn, man, Popstar was so fucking good.
It really is. It's funnier every time I watch it. Moving on, other trailer, Turning Red. We've talked about this movie before, but we have a trailer from Disney Pixar, Turning Red. I guess I'll just read the synopsis to start off. In Turning Red, Mei Li is a confident 13-year-old torn between staying her mother's dutiful daughter and the chaos of adolescence. And as if changes to her interest, relationship, and body weren't enough, whenever she gets too excited, she poofs into a giant red panda. However, watching this trailer, I will note, it seems as though excited is another word for anxiety. It's somebody replied to our tweet, with the trailer, like, oh, it's Pixar's anxiety movie. And that's like, not even like making fun of that. Like, that's exactly what it seems like. It's what they're tackling. It looks colorful and different. Somebody said good dinosaur vibes. I actually don't agree with that at all. I actually kind of like it's a teaser. I like this idea. It's different. It's one of those like different things.
I thought good concept, bad teaser. Cause I feel like all we got in this teaser is this girl like crying. Which is, I don't know, I wanted a little more, not exposition, but just give us I wanted a little bit more than just that, you know?
I mean, it all the teaser needed to do was to show the transformation. And you're like, okay. And I'm excited for it. I don't really get the good dinosaur comp other than like maybe the animation style, but even then it's hard to compare the, I hate the animation style and the good dinosaur. Like, I just hate the design of the dinosaur. It makes me so mad. Looking at the damn good dinosaur. But even the good dinosaur wasn't like that bad of a movie. It just was like when did it come out, like 2015? It wasn't even that long ago. Like, that was just like one of the first like misses in the Pixar film.
It would be like the best Blue Sky Animation Theater or whatever studio movie, you know what I mean? But it's just the worst Pixar.
If Blue Sky did it, they'd be like, Blue Sky's here to stay.
You know what I watched recently was The Wish Dragon, which I think it was Sony Animation. And it's literally just Aladdin, but with a dragon, and it's set in China instead of wherever it was in Aladdin. And it's so funny. It's almost beat for beat Aladdin, except it's got John Cho and Constance Wu. And it actually kind of rocks, even though it's a direct ripoff. You should watch that. I think you'd like it, Drew.
I gotta be honest. I'm looking at the Good Dinosaur cast list, and I'm gonna send this to the chat. But this did give me a chuckle just seeing this photo with the character name. It's just Steve Zahn's Thunderclap. It's just Steve Zahn Thunderclap, and it has Steve Zahn's perfect face on it.
I was taking it in a very sexual direction.
No,
he's thunderclapping someone's cheeks. Every time
we got to ask him about Sahara too.
Yes. Oh, obviously. Oh,
but if you did a Sahara 2 and then that transitioned into a Mummy reboot.
Okay. You connect the franchises you're talking about?
Yeah.
Why not? I don't see. Okay. So obviously we're going to need to have Matthew McConaughey come into the Mummy universe. And I would not hate that one bit. I think that would rock.
Matthew McConaughey and Brendan Fraser together would be pretty neat.
Oh, that would be so cool. Both of them wearing cowboy hats.
Hi, I'm Steve Zahn, and this is Jackass.
Steve Zahn and Steve-O?
Steve Zahn-O?
That sounds terrible.
Does it? Was it bad or just doesn't sound good?
I just don't like how that rolls off the tongue. Steve Zahn-O. It sounds too close to just Mondo.
He should be in the French Dispatch, by the way.
The Jizmon? The Jizmon.
Just Skylar Giz
Jizmondo.
Just say Jizmondo. Yeah, there you go.
Just say his name. That's his God given name.
Jizondo?
No, Jizmondo. He's like, you gotta say it like
that's a cartoon
Applejack's thing.
Somebody draw a cartoon of Skylar Jizmondo holding the Smokin character up by his shirt collar up against the locker, just saying, "Say my name."
Say my name, bitch.
The Jizz man.
And lastly, A24, that we've talked about this forever, and we're not the only ones. This is not like an idea that we had. A24 exploring a potential sale with Apple as the leading candidate. That's been the most obvious fucking combination of all time.
Yeah, I feel like Apple this was talked about A24. A while ago too, right?
I think it was more just an idea.
I think it literally is seeing the A24 logo and saying, like, that looks like something Apple would buy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Like it's the type of stuff that they would release. Well, why not? I'm all for it. Like, why not make these movies, like, A24 is like such a great catalog, make them more accessible, especially on new release. I don't know what that would mean, but why not? Have Apple pump their fucking money, $3 billion. Which is, by the way,
it's nothing to Apple. It's a pack of Starburst,
mm-hmm.
Which is crazy to think about because Disney bought Marvel for $4 billion 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane. I know, and like, I know inflation, whatever, but that is.
They made that back with two movies, with Infinity War and Endgame.
It's alone. Just crazy.
Apple has almost $200 billion of cash on their balance sheet, I think. So this would be like you and I going to the store. Can I get some Big Red gum, please?
They're just at the cash wrap. They're like, throw it in, whatever.
Okay. Well, it's kind of like the same thing with like the baseball teams, right? Like whenever a new baseball team goes up for sale, you always look back and you're like, well, somebody sold the prestigious franchise like 10 years ago for this. And now the Diamondbacks are going for $14 billion or whatever it is.
You know what's funny is like, like whenever there's mergers, like they combine the departments or whatever like that. Like imagine being the A24 guy that gets assigned to make C good. That sucks.
Oh.
Hey, we're putting you on morning show.
Yeah, what if it wasn't even like A20? It's like when they bought Beats and they just like didn't do much with it. And they just kind of used the technology. They're like, hey, you guys are great writers. You wrote these awesome movies. Can you punch up this C script for it? Like,
yeah. Oh,
no.
What's they had another really big stinker other than C. What's the other one? Because I remember we talked about it. Like
it wasn't Dickinson, because Dickinson was like fairly well received. But I know what you're saying. There was one. It wasn't the Steve Carell one, right?
What?
Not the morning show.
Morning one, show? No, the there's a different
Force.
One.
Is Space Force Apple? Was that Apple? I don't
know. No, that was Netflix.
Oh, God, that fucking show.
For All Mankind is pretty good, actually. I'm going to give them that. And Mythic Quest, I need to try because I keep hearing it's great. And I really like, what's his name? Rob McElhenney. I never get to say his name or whatever.
God, people, the show that people have begged us to watch? 375 episodes. Begged us. And I don't think we're ever going to watch it.
Which one?
You know what it is. It's on HBO.
Crank Anchors.
We have a Crank Anchor on payroll now. I don't know. What is it?
His Fart Materials.
Oh, okay. So I did watch the first two episodes of His Fart Materials, and I didn't like it.
I guarantee you I would love it. I'm not going to watch it.
It had like a cool production budget, and like, what's his name? The fucking Professor X was in it for a little bit. He was kind of good in it, and fuck, man. I don't know. It just wasn't for me. Didn't totally love it.
The interesting thing about like A24 is like Apple buys that, and then what is the... what's the big IP there? Like, are they
for A24?
Yeah, like I know there is. I'm just asking it. Like, what's the crown jewel of the A24?
Like movie wise?
Well, I know like prestige movie wise, and like, you know, terms of like just a single movie is Moonlight, right? But I'm just thinking like, if Apple gets it, like they're looking into ways. I mean, obviously, like have Hereditary and other things on there. Obviously, the A24 catalog is very good, but I'm just trying to think like, is there anything existing in there? Because like they do, A24 produces Euphoria, right? But I'm pretty sure they're locked into a pretty lucrative deal with HBO. Well, so
maybe that's for TV, and that might not apply to movies.
Yeah,
that might be something they can like bifurcate or whatever.
Again, this is something I have no real idea about, so probably better not talking about it. But it is interesting to think about, because like it has been the obvious thought in a while that Apple is just going to buy their way into the space, and that's what they should do if you had $200 billion of cash.
I feel like we talked about them somewhere along the line of last year, because they distributed what, like 3 or 4 movies with Apple TV, and we were like, oh, this is just like such a natural marriage. Maybe that's why. I just assumed that this was like something that was already in progress.
I'm going to say it again because I know Tim Cook listens. Mr. Cook, please buy Konami. Please.
Cook, tear down these walls.
Yeah. Please buy Konami. Please take Castlevania and do something with it. Please return Metal Gear Solid and Silent Hill to Hideo Kojima. That's all I'm asking for from Apple. Please just do it.
Mr. Cook, pan fry my bussy. Do you think he can even cook? If he can't, that sucks big time. The only reason he has that name is because one of his ancestors down the line was a cook.
I got the new beta update for the iPhone, iOS 15. Not much going on here. However, the camera thing where you can take a picture of something and then just copy the text from the picture, that's nice.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, like Google's done stuff like that before, but it is nice. Works well. Episode brought to you by NordVPN. NordVPN, fantastic VPN. You don't have to sacrifice internet speed for better security. Your internet traffic completely routed through a secure encrypted tunnel, protects your data, privacy, all that and more. You get 6 devices for NordVPN. And best of all, you can access content with NordVPN from over 59 different countries by changing your location with one click. So, you know, maybe there's something on a Netflix platform in Canada and you're in the U.S. or vice versa, and you want to be able to watch it, guess what? NordVPN will help you out. Geo restrictions, blackout on sporting events, help you out. No longer an issue. Super easy to use. When you're traveling, airport, restaurant Wi-Fi, public Wi-Fi, help you out there as well. Using NordVPN on your phone or laptop protects you from hackers, gives you peace of mind. And again, the geo restrictions on local blackouts for sporting events or shows. And then, of course, movies and streaming platforms. A 30-day money-back guarantee if NordVPN is not for you. So no risk. Go to NordVPN.com/LCB or use code LCB to get a 2-year plan plus a bonus gift with a huge discount. NordVPN.com/LCB. If you're listening to this pod, you should have NordVPN.
Way better than Kijit VPN, I have to say. Fantastic. 5 people got that joke, and they probably love it.
Are we ready to talk about The Purge?
Guess
the
so.
Forever Purge, which I said the first Purge like 100 times. It's the Forever Purge.
Forever Purge. If you've been watching the NBA playoffs, by the way, me and Jeff were saying this the other day at the office. If you've been watching the NBA playoffs, you've been bombarded with that singular quote because just keeps playing the commercials over and over and over and over again. Just that one line, the Forever Purge. God, I hate it.
This fucking movie, man. All the rules are broken as a sect of lawless marauders decides that the annual purge does not stop at daybreak and instead should never end. Adele and her husband, Juan, live in Texas where he works as a ranch hand for the wealthy Tucker family. Juan impresses the Tucker patriarch, Caleb, but that fuels the jealous anger of his son, Dylan. On the morning after the purge, a masking of killers attacks the Tuckers, forcing both families to band together and fight back as the country spirals into chaos. It opens up in the year 2048. The new founding
fathers.
Oh, what a great fucking sketch.
Mm-hmm.
The new founding fathers have regained control of the U.S. government from Charlene Roan. That's the character who won in the purge election year. Remember that?
Yeah, they just completely were just like, nothing that happened in that movie matters anymore.
At nothing all. At all. White supremacy, nativism have surged nationwide, all that. A married migrant couple, like I said, Juan and Adela, they illegally crossed the border in Texas to escape from a Mexican drug cartel and build a new life. And that's the beginning of the purge. They survived the night of the purge. There's normal killings and stuff. The first purge is back. The purge is back for the first time in 8 years. And then the purge just continues. There's forever purgers.
Forever purchase from Clock Stoppers.
Platinum Dunes, Blumhouse Productions. Will Patton, former interview on this show, by the way. Want to know?
Yeah. That. Yeah. We interviewed him for what? I forget what movie did you, because you talked to him so
very small movie. Right. Very small movie. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he did Minari right after that. Like, damn, dude. It was bad timing.
It's awful timing, quite honestly. The Purge 2013, The Purge Anarchy 2014, The Purge Election Year 2016, The First Purge 2018, and The Forever Purge 2021. And now the untitled sixth Purge movie will be coming out. And it's going to focus on Frank Grillo's character, Leo Barnes, from Anarchy and Election Year. And to incorporate a worldwide purge.
It's called The Purge, but instead of the G, there's a six.
Oh, I already thought. Yep, I was going to. That was my literal next that? Thing.
Oh, okay.
No, that's the next thing.
No, we're on the same wavelength.
Yeah, this movie's a bag of ass. 31 out of 100. Movie stinks. It's got a couple elements that, again, remind you, like, this had so much potential, and they just continue to bury it deeper and deeper into the ground. And look, like, I get where, like, the political and social commentary stuff lines up. It's nowhere near as heavy-handed as the first purge. That was like as whatever the opposite of not finessed into the story it was. It was so heavy-handed and distracting. This is not as bad, but it's just one of those things too. It's like, I just don't know if this is the place for it. it's just distracting, and it's not good on top. It's just a whole, it's a fucking mess. It's not good.
It's just not a good, it's not a good movie. Look, what's the whole thing? Like was it the Tim and Eric? Like, I don't use subtext or whatever. What's that from? I mean, the Purge has never used subtext. It's always had this, it's always had, like, I think concepts that are worth exploring, but the movies, the actual quality of the movie, just from like a good movie standpoint, I don't think serves to elevate it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that the concept, I think, is the important thing to harp on, because I do think that the core concept of the purge is what made the first one interesting, because like their idea, right? Like their thesis or whatever, like, is the whatever Jokerverse bullshit, like civilization is intact because of law and order and society putting rules in place. But like, you take away those barriers and what happens to like the regular Joe Schmo. But that is the thing I think was more interesting, right? Like, how well do you know your neighbor or your friend? Because they might be nice, but like, what's going on underneath the hood? But when you take away, in this movie, which is what they do, they take away the literal purge and you just make these villains one-dimensional people. And when you like inject a lot of like very heavy racial and political things with a very, very heavy hand to like try and supercharge it, I think you lose what makes the original property good. Because it's like you're saying, Troll, like they definitely are never like super like subtle or anything like that, but like they, when you deal with this heavy of a hand for this long, you lose it. And it would be, I didn't like it at all. I think on the technical end, they set up everything fast, which is nice compared to some of the other ones. And I actually like the Southwest setting, which theoretically should have been like a good setting for like Frontier Justice and all of that. I don't think they fully took advantage of that, which is an issue. And you just get like sort of boilerplate action with like a kind of like that touch of Hollywood self-righteousness, which I really just, it just rubbed me the wrong way. But the cast was good. And that's like, I think the one thing that stands out to me is that I think I'm going to try and pronounce the name correctly. Ana de Reguera, De La Reguera, like who we recently saw in Army of the Dead. I think she's awesome. I think she's a badass and she sold me as that. And I think she's a good actress. It's just this movie is, I think, more or less proof that this franchise sort of does need to end. And it won't, because it's already, even in COVID, made its budget back plus another, I think, half a point or half a percent or half of it, 1.5 times its budget back. So they're never going to stop it. As long as they're making money, there's no point.
Yeah. I just like the movie itself. I thought like it was constructed in a way that it had some like, just a very jump scary type of like, look at this movie, you know, the barn scene, like that was like a jump scare that wasn't even a scary jump scare. Like he was just looking through the barn and all of a sudden there was a guy in front of him and there was, you know, you got the musical cue and everything.
They did it in the beginning. They did it with the fucking refrigerator during they did so many of those jump scare fake outs.
Yeah. Which like, I mean, going back to like at least the original Purge and like what I enjoyed about it is like, I did like, you know, the Ethan Hawke and Lena Headey, I did like the scale of it, and I think it's one of those things where like the concept asks a lot of questions when it's on a smaller scale, and it's kind of like up to you, the viewer, to think about this universe. And it's almost like the more you actually like explore the universe, it becomes less interesting, like just from a setup standpoint in terms of like execution, right? Because like the real fear of the original Purge was just like seeing this one like zoomed in view of like how terrifying this event was and then imagining it on a large scale. And that almost in itself, and I'm like, not like the original Purge was a masterpiece either, but that in itself is almost more terrifying than like, you know, going back to like Purge election year, like seeing it play out in a grander scale and actually getting more of the world. And I mean, that's what I come back to is like, look, there are themes and there are elements in here that I think are very much worth exploring. But I don't think the movie isn't designed to approach it with like the nuance it needs to be a real, you know, to combine the both. Like, I just don't think the film is good enough to elevate those concepts, I guess.
It's exhausted, isn't it? I feel like that's almost a good way of putting the concept has become exhausted because they haven't found a way to make it feel really fresh, at least not since the first one. And it is, again, that core concept I think is so cool because that is such a real thought, like experiment or whatever. Like, what would your friends or whatever people that you think you know, like what would they do if like the rules are all lifted? Like, you don't know. And that part of it is cool. But like, again, like when you have your main villain just being one dimensional bad guys, this is no longer a Purge movie. It's just like a regular thriller. You know what I mean? Like that part of the experiment that value add is now gone. And it's just like a shitty suspense action movie that just doesn't have anything else to harp on.
I think that's maybe the best point is that like the idea that worked was the concept that this is a horrifying idea to have to live through this. And it was never properly executed. And now, like with the forever part, you just lose that. And now it just really sucks. It's like, it's oddly not the worst one because I think it has some elements that at least keep it going a little more. Like I really can't stress enough. The first Purge was horrible. Ugh. Not that much worse, I guess, in the fucking grand scheme of things, but that movie sucked ass. But some of the other ones, like they were a little better in the sense that like they were still able to use the idea behind this franchise, where now that when you shed yourself of that, what are you? You're just like a fucking basic murder movie. Like it just
with no value.
Well, I mean it's like, it's kind of like if Saw just was like, hey, like what if instead of like getting rid of the traps, we just like, it just became a regular horror movie where, you know, the Saw killer is now a slasher. Like you've gotten rid of the thing, like the whole concept of the Purge that actually makes like the conceit, which makes it like a thing. Right.
Yeah.
Like that, and Yeah, I mean, and that's just like, and I agree with what you're saying. Like Ana de Reguera, I thought was or De La Reguera was very good. I thought the cast was fine. It wasn't an interesting movie in terms of the execution, and that's just what I come back to. Like I felt like it tried to scare me too much with the jump scares, and then by the time you got to the end, you just were kind of wanting it to. You knew where it was going, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I just like, I don't know. Like, I guess if they go back, they're going to work the global purge and go back to the Frank Grillo character. It's just, I never watched the show. I don't know if the show was any better. I don't think it was. It's just such a bummer. This is one of those concepts that I harp on all the time. I just think it was just not ever properly executed. And I thought maybe they'll fix it on the next one. And then they just further and further got away from the simplicity. Like, the framework was there with the first one. It just wasn't very good. It was close. It was like, oh, you know, they improved that a little bit. That could end up being great. And then they just stayed strayed further and further away. And now, it's just a murder movie. It's just a slasher.
It's like, what if Jason was actually 5'4"?
And he just wore
street clothes.
What if instead of this,
he's just a guy, he had a gun.
He's just a guy named Jason. It wasn't Jason. It's just Jason. I think this one may be a little bit better than the first Purge, though. Like, I do want to give it credit. Like, I agree with you guys there. Like, I think I probably give this movie like up to 40. I didn't hate it. Like, I grew kind of bored of it. Like, I wasn't really gripped even from the onset of the movie. It I don't know. And then I think it just goes back to like the whole concept. Like, what makes the Purge interesting is the concept of the Purge. And I think there are a lot of great, you know, there's commentary that they've added that I think like is interesting and worth exploring. And I keep coming back to this, but like, once you get out of that framework of like, I think at least the first three movies, they just seem like murder movies. Maybe that's what they're supposed to be, but I don't know.
It's just a murder franchise now. It's like, it's just the substance is so not there anymore. And again, like all the social commentary and all that stuff, like it's not as heavy handed as like the first word, but it's still like, it distracts a little. And you're like, why are we overcomplicating something that is. So, and I guess like class was a big part of the first one as it is, and that's fine. Like, I get that, but it's like you continue to layer on all this stuff to maybe add like intrigue and interest. And it's just not there.
Yeah. I mean, the class was extremely relevant because I mean, you cut it at that level and there's going to be people who are susceptible to the purge and people who like are protected from the purge. Right. So the commentary has always been there. It's always been a part of the franchise. It's just the quality of the movies have gone down, and I just don't think it supports it. The commentary, I guess, like just from them not being good movies.
Time to give it up. Hang them up. Hang up the Purge mask.
Just the Purge. You got just retire.
Oh, they go got back a, to the they roof. Got a sixth. They got a sixth one coming.
I know.
What's Purge?
Bring Frank Grillo back.
That's what it is.
Thank you. Thanks, Jeff, for doing that for me. Taking care of that so quickly.
It's E-Grup.
E-Grup. Yeah, call it E-Grup or something, and then make the G a six again.
So it's like 365 days a year is the Purge, and then one day is the non-Purge day.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You're safe one day of the year.
The E-Grup. I kind of had...
It's like,
save them.
It's like the Forever Purge, but one day better.
Yeah. Sorry, Alpha. We have to take this day off. Oh, but I thought I was supposed to Forever Purge. Son of a bitch.
I don't even know what else to say.
I mean, what kind of reviews is like what's been the bad consensus? Yeah. Rotten Tomatoes scores what? Like, I would guess the Rotten Tomatoes score would be like 38%.
That's your guess? 38%?
Yeah.
Forever Purge has on Rotten Tomatoes, a 46 from the critics, a 78 from the audience.
See, it's fucking making money, man. They're never going to stop.
Fans of the Fran, is there like a Purge Con?
That's a good question, actually.
At the Orlando Hyatt.
The one where you got pissed on or whatever?
No, it was Tampa. I didn't get pissed on.
If you say so.
I laid in a bed that had been pissed on.
That's a good review.
So how about the con or for the Purge, call it the Converge. I think there's something there. No. There we go.
Somehow both too ridiculous and yet far too real to be enjoyed as cheap entertainment. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I agree, Jennifer Heaton.
Keynote speaker, Frank Grillo.
Cosplaying as Ethan Hawke.
All right. I guess that's it. On that review, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Dumb.
Now we do a draft. We have a good draft this week, by the way. A good audience are.
I did watch Fear Street 1978, Jeff. It was very,
Jack, remind me what you gave it Forever Purge again?
Gave it 834.
Oh, I thought you said 84. I was like, what the fuck?
No, God, no.
I hated it.
Yeah, 84. Fear Street. I'm very excited to talk about all the all the Fear Streets. So the next thing we're going to review is going to be Space Jam. And we'll put out a review schedule for our last movies, the retirement tour. Space Jam, A New Legacy. Then we'll do Fear Street Part 3. We're going to have to review Pig, this Nicolas Cage movie. It's getting crazy good reviews.
Yeah, Space Jam, A New Pegasy.
And then we'll review, then we'll review Snake Eyes. I don't know if we'll do Old from M. Night Shyamalan. I don't know if we're going to do that.
That one looks freaky.
Stillwater's coming out. Jungle Cruise. So there's a lot to end this month here. And then we got a great month in August. I mean, look, The Suicide Squad. Free Guy. Don't Breathe 2. It's fucking weird.
Perry.
Candyman, and then again, the last thing we'll do Shang-Chi and Legend of the Ten Rings, Marvel. All right, let's do our list. Things that need to stop or end. Things we want to get rid of. A very positive, uplifting list. We'll go. We're gonna go. Ken Jack, Trill, myself, and the audience. How about that, yeah. Ken Jack?
Okay,
five things that need to stop or end.
Okay, my first pick on this draft is going to be bad titty shirts. I think bad titty shirts need to make a, and this is a men only cat thing. Okay, I'm not talking about girls here. This is like a bad titty shirts for men need to go on the wayside, go away forever. All shirts that are made from now on in from all textile factories around the world need to support good men titty shape. And there cannot be anything else, like, and nothing can be made where you get like a little bit of that droop to it, where it accentuates the triangular shape of a slightly underworked titty. Okay, got to get rid of them.
Bad man titty. It is, even like when you're like, I'm not currently in good shape, but even like when you're in good shape and you still put one on, and you're like, what the fuck? You're like, what is this?
It ruins your day.
Like, really? Yeah.
If you go from a good titty shirt to a bad titty shirt, like, you see yourself in the mirror, you're like, I just went from like feeling good to now I mentally and physically feel like shit just from looking at myself in this terrible t-shirt.
Nothing like putting on a shirt in a fitting room or dressing room, and you know as it's slipping over your head, it's not gonna fit. It's something you don't even put it on, but you're like, nope. You just take it right. And you're like, that ain't gonna work.
You feel grazed, like the sides of the chest, like however that diameter is, and you're just like, oh nope, that's not happening. Absolutely not.
I hate when you get a shirt that, like, you get like three, like, you have a shirt you like, right? A brand, a shirt you like, and then you order like three of them, and two of them fit great, and then one of them is a bad shirt, like, which has happened to me more times than should be acceptable.
There's some stores like Old Navy or like Gap, or you're sometimes you'll try one on, it won't fit, and then you just try on another one, same size, and it just fits perfect. It's always
Did you guys ever have did you guys ever collect the Old Navy flag t-shirts they released every year? You ever used to like wear those? Like, you used to wear
Fourth of July.
My mom used to get me the new flag shirt drop every summer, and I had like a stable of like seven of them for a while. But I'm sure you could go on like Depop now or whatever the vintage site is, and they're probably like $35.
That's a good first pick. Bad man boob shirts. Trill, you're next.
I'm gonna go with the Times Square New Year's Eve celebration.
Oh wow, that's actually a really good pick.
Maybe people are still gathering in Times Square, but like in terms of entertainment and watching something on New Year's Eve, like I want something different.
What do you want?
I don't know. Like maybe mix it up a little bit.
A jet ski race.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
People willingly go despite the fact it's like, oh, you have to piss on your friend. It's like you have to piss and shit all over your friend once you're in those cages. And they load them in very close to where I live too. So you see people, they walk in and they're just getting locked into this box.
I mean, you got to go for that Planet Fitness Jamiroquai hat.
Yeah. And that's the thing.
You got to get that hat.
What is hanging on your wall? That's my foam hat, my foam Planet Fitness hat. Planet Fitness, yeah.
what do you collect? Glasses.
I collect the Planet Fitness New Year's Eve Times Square hats. I have all of them.
Just like it's like the Iron Man scene where his entire fucking room opens up, except it's just like one row is just the glasses with it's like 2006, 2007, 2008. And the other row is the Planet Fitness hats.
This is, this is, Ryan Seacrest acknowledged me in this hat. The year was 2014. It was a very special year for me.
Dude, Jenny McCarthy almost kissed me. She saw this Planet Fitness hat and she was like, she looked. I wasn't even a cop, dude.
Since I made this stupid draft, though I kind of like it, I'll do the pick that inspired it. I'm going to say the Purge franchise just to be like, I need to take that because I started this whole thing. Audience, Ken Jack, who is it? Who'd they pick?
Our audience, czar is Adam Maras, M-A-R-A-S. I like his list a lot.
He never made the final four.
He has a great, great list. He gave me 15. I took just five because I think they're the five best from within the list. And this first pick that I gave him is a great one. Meetings that could have been emails.
Yes.
I think it's a phenomenal, phenomenal pick. And easily a first rounder. So kudos to him because those are the absolute worst.
A lot of people do it because, I mean, don't get me wrong. Sometimes it's easier to get people together to get something, but you're right. There are definitely things that can be resolved not via a meeting. And I don't know whether it's gotten worse or it's gotten better via COVID, but maybe it's gotten worse and better in different ways. But yeah, it is pretty annoying to where you can just be like, somebody can just do this. I'll solve it there.
Mm-hmm. It's just the worst.
I love giving a good, like in a meeting that's boring or like there are people are getting off topic and you're wasting your time and you give them big, the very loud sigh. Let's move on from the jokes. Let's take the jokes and just finish the meeting. That's a good first pick though. Second pick.
Their next pick is The Rock lying about his cheat meals. I agree. That's got to end. We got to leave that in the past. Rocky needs to find a new slant. He needs to tear off more.
He's slowly been doing it. I feel like he's been kind of just lessening what exactly he shows he's eating.
Mm-hmm. Easing off on the gas a little.
So yeah, you can sort of tell he's like, maybe he keeps like, he knows that we caught on. Yeah.
Yeah. I just, I think that I agree with him 100%. It's just, it's become a thing now. I think more people, not just us, where we're like part of his cult of personality are realizing it. And like that, that's when you know it's starting to get bad. Like, obviously, he's not eating 500 pancakes.
They finally finally released a picture of him in the Black Adam suit, by the way. from the back.
Get this post the other day. It's like exciting day filming. Like, I'm being filmed with a camera that captures like 9,000 frames per second. And that's like, he's like, that's more than the standard 24 or whatever. Like, what's the advantage to that? I don't know if my eyes can process that.
Yeah, actually, this camera, it appeals to beings beyond the spectral plane that they see in infrared and other sort of spectrums a lot. You can't see, but isn't that cool? Nah, not really, Rock. good with 24.
9,000. My pick, second round, kids cooking competitions.
Yeah, they do stink.
Just wholly unnecessary. It just takes up so much time on Food Network, MasterChef Junior. Look, they're great young cooks. Awesome. Let like the best one into the main show. I just like I don't want to watch kids cook or bake. No offense to small kids everywhere. Props to you for knowing how to cook and bake and be good at it. And you have you have finesse in the kitchen. Give me people who've been doing it for years.
At best, you get something that looks remotely palatable. At worst, you get an absolute disaster where a kid cries. And that's just, I don't want any part of that either way. It's like you're saying, I'd much rather see like a professional chef fail at something that they aren't familiar with.
Get rid of them. Trill, your second pick.
Mine's the Nike sneakers app. I just stop doing that and just say you're going to release the sneakers and then just don't even sell them, because I haven't been able, the illusion of being able to get it has been more painful to me. I would rather just see it and be like, I'm going to admire this cool sneaker from the internet, but no, I'm ever not going to get it. But that sneakers app gives me hope, and that's what I hate. And I haven't gone back on it like a year. I just got to a point where I'm like, I can't do this anymore. Or at least just make more shoes. How about that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Damn shoes.
Ken Jack, back-to-back picks.
All right. First pick, the week. Everyone always wants the week to end so that you get to the weekend.
Ugh.
Ladies and gentlemen, the week.
The weekend. I think that's an easy one. That's an easy win. Everyone wants the week to end no matter what day it is. Is that not true?
It's a literal take on this list.
Everybody's working for the weekend.
Yeah, they are.
Nobody released a song that
everybody's working
for the weekend.
I was going for the Rebecca Black. Rebecca Black. What's her lyric?
Friday.
Looking forward to the weekend.
Friday. Gotta get down on Friday.
I knew the name of the song.
Yeah, the melody. The
lyric.
Me?
I was trying to get the lyric of the weekend part.
Everybody. And then she's like, everybody's looking for the weekend.
Yeah, that's what I was looking for. Okay. But yeah, easy pick anyway. My next one is toenail and fingernail growth. I want that to end. I'm done with that. I want to take a pill where neither of them grow for the rest of my life. I'm fucking sick of them. We as humanity have to find a way to stop that from happening, because it's just a fucking nuisance. It is such a nuisance to me. And I despise, like, I'm too busy and I just forget for like a few weeks. The second I see them start to poke out that little bit of white, it infuriates me. And I just hate the growth of nails.
Yeah, it's such a chore. Cutting your nails, I do it frequently because I do think long nails are kind of gross.
Mm-hmm, agreed.
But it's just like, you're like, God dang, I don't want to look like a fucking ghoul. I got to cut my nails. All right.
I hate it. It's a nuisance.
Well, what about that guy in the Guinness Book of World Records with the long nails?
That picture's so disgusting.
It's one of the grossest. It's one of the worst things ever. It is. It looks like a big
curly poop coming out of his fingers. It's disgusting.
What were the guys in the Guinness Book of World Records are on the motorcycles, and
guys on the motorcycle?
I'm trying to be a little bit nicer than that, but yeah.
Look, they would describe themselves as the fat guys on the motorcycle. That was their thing.
That's
everyone remembers them. That's probably not true, but I feel like they were pretty well liked. The twins on the motorcycle. What was their record?
The world's heaviest twins.
Yeah.
I thought
they're gonna be like the world's fastest twins on motorcycles or something.
We talked about the Scholastic Book Fair last week with the Clifford thing, but wasn't the Guinness book like the coolest thing at the book fair? Wasn't that like the forbidden book that you knew your parents wouldn't like?
Because it was always bigger and it was metallic.
And it contained like real useful information, like who made the biggest pancake in the world,
mm-hmm.
versus like books like Clifford, which I didn't learn anything from Clifford, but I did learn who made the biggest bowl of pasta in the Guinness Book of World Records.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't. Who is it? Tell me. Yeah, Mario. That's what I thought. No, you could try.
True.
This is hard to describe. You know, I'm not going to do this. Bad radio. I was going to say like the new font that like a lot of like direct to consumer companies are using that, like, it's like a reaction to Helvetica. It's like Serif. You know what I'm talking about? See, it's bad radio, so I won't.
Helvetica Serif?
No, I don't.
Or you mean like?
It's I don't know. It's just like everybody's using like a font now that like has a little more stink on it.
Give me Helvetica with some stank on it.
I can't really. This is a bad discussion. I'm just gonna go with Indiana Jones.
Oh, okay. Like after the mangled one, or just
before? just do the mangled one, and then just let's just close the book on Indiana Jones.
He just keeps getting fucking hurt, and it's just like, come on, stop doing this to my guy.
Yeah, and the character is so tied into Harrison Ford that like it's an IP that's worth something, so you know they're gonna want to keep it chugging along. But like I think once they wrap on this, I think the book should close on Indiana Jones. And I don't think that's a hot take or an unpopular take either. I think that's probably common thought, but I just wanted to say it.
I like that Indiana Jones franchise. Number three for me is the Cake Boss.
Had a feeling.
He's got to be stopped. He's not the better of the two. Duff Goldman of Ace of Cakes is the better one. They had a Cake Boss versus the Ace of Cakes on Food Network. Ace of Cakes won, and then they brought it back for a season two because I'm sure fucking Buddy Velastro complained and bitched and moaned about it. And then they rigged it so he would win the second time, so they'll do it again. His cakes stink compared to Buddy. His cakes are fucking – they're whatever. They're fine. They do a nice job. They're nowhere near as good as Duff's cakes. Get them out of here.
And I just the whole like cake thing is just like it's all fondant, right? And then like I know on some level it's like impressive that you're able to do that artistry with that, but that shouldn't really be like that's not really a cake. Fondant's not really an edible thing.
Yeah,
he made a Betty White cake. Looks nothing fucking like her.
Oh, I just looked him up. He's at Harris in Vegas, though, not in AC. Like,
what is he doing? Cooking his shitty fucking cakes?
He's
what's the best cake that's ever been made? Is there like a like is there a Reddit cake forum where there's just, you know, like the music forum where people will just like agree that like you know, like Kid A by Radiohead's one of the best albums that had ever been made? Do they feel the same about
but they can
cake?
All consume that. You can't all taste what would be the best cake. Like you could tell me right now you had the best cake in the world. I never had it, so I couldn't agree with you.
And that's why like the Cake Boss the Cake Boss media complex has been so detrimental because you're just going for pure decoration when the true enjoyment of a cake is biting into it.
Is eating it.
Nothing will ever beat the Viennetta cakes. Jeff, you're telling me the you remember the Viennetta cakes, right?
Viennetta cakes.
Yeah, they're in the freezer section.
Yeah.
They're like little ice cream cakes, right?
Yeah.
That they weren't like real cakes, but like they were probably more delicious than like a fondant Shrek cake.
Fudgy the Whale, another great cake.
Ice cream cake in general, just far superior to regular cake in almost every way.
A watermelon log from Friendly's.
I think you get that whole DQ cooler section looks so delicious. Every time you go into a DQ and just look into that pristine cooler of those ice cream cakes, it makes me so hungry.
I just got a Dairy Queen cake made up for a party on Sunday, and it was delicious. It was so good. You know what I got? I got a Cold Stone ice cream cake with like toffee as one of the layers. It was absolutely delicious. Oh, so good.
Audience is next.
Audience,
what they got?
Audience, they have next Anne Hathaway taking shitty roles. Another great pick, IMO.
Anne Hathaway and bad movies. Yeah, don't forget about The Hustle.
Yep, don't.
Yikes.
Well, take a number because that's only like the example like 200. Dad Boat. The quarantine movie.
I'm glad she did Dad Boat though, because Serenity is kind of iconic if you think about it.
It was in a weird way.
But here's the thing, like us and people in our sphere know it, but like you ask anyone else on the street, hey, dude, you see Serenity? They're like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, but that's your obligation to stop whatever you're doing and make them watch Serenity with you and then discuss it afterwards and then never talk to them again because they won't want to do that.
There's another bad movie we're definitely missing to be beyond the ones that we just mentioned. Oh, no, she was good in Dark Waters, but that wasn't, I think, a movie that she was a main in. The Hustle, The Last Thing He Wanted, which was, big fart.
The Witches was like, wasn't horrible.
Wasn't good though. Lockdown was terrible. Colossal.
You know, she's just cashing checks.
Your That's favorite fun. Movie, The Intern.
I love The Intern.
But yeah, no, anyway, I do like this pick a lot because I would love for her and other guy, people like the Fast Man to go take some good roles, something they can eat up, not some trash. And his next pick is adding raisins to chicken salad. I don't feel one way or another on this, but like, I know people feel very strongly on this.
I didn't realize what this was for like 2 seconds, but yeah, I guess if you like it, you like it, but I would never do it.
If it's in the chicken salad I bought, I'm like, okay. But like, it's not something I'm ever going to be like, oh, I have these two options. I'm going to take the one with raisins in it.
It's a texture disruptor.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. It is a complete texture disruptor.
Yeah. I think the sweetness adding to the savory isn't terrible, but I don't know. It's not for me.
Plus, there's nothing you can make with raisins that isn't better with craisins.
Right. Yeah, that's it. True. You got it.
The more sugary raisin.
He nailed it again. Mine is a phrase used for sports fans. Calling touchdowns tutties.
Oh. Yeah, that's gotta go.
That is awful. That was a big Penn State thing too for a while. Just awful. Just no. It's a gross word.
I had a friend in college whose last name was Tedisco, and they used to call him Tutty. And I felt so bad. That was prime Tutty era too. That was like 2011.
What's the best nickname for a touchdown?
Just say fucking touchdown.
I like just saying six. That's six.
He just got a six.
How many fantasy football?
He just did a six.
How many fantasy leagues were you in where somebody had the name Show Me Your TDs? Yeah, right there, yeah, right over the Dwayne Bowe.
Dwayne Bowe, taste the Dwayne Bowe. what were some of the cash? What were some of the other one? I don't know.
Trill, you're up next.
I'm gonna go with stores that I'm gonna name the store. I'm gonna go Nordstrom Rack selling like house labels. You know, nothing's more disappointing than going in Nordstrom Rack thinking you're gonna find some sort of like Todd Snyder designer score, and then like everything they sell is like their own private label that makes it look like it came from a store, but you know it didn't come from a mainline store. And outlets have been doing that forever, but like that's always my disappointment when going to an outlet mall where you're like, boy, I bet like I'm really gonna get some good clearance here from the Brooks Brothers outlet, and you show up and it's like the 365 diffusion line or whatever. I get why they got to do it. I understand the economics of it, but it's disappointing. Like don't throw the clothes away. Just let me buy them for a much cheaper price, please.
Takes the fun out of the hunt. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like when you show up and I know this isn't like a house label, but like you go to Nordstrom Rack and you're like, there's some Psycho Bunny polos, and I would never wear a Psycho Bunny polo. I don't get that brand. 36-year-old bald guy wearing a Psycho Bunny polo sort of vibe.
You would definitely pull off like a juicy sweatsuit. The big right over the ass cheeks. I love that fit.
Just cropped at the ankles.
Yeah, cropped at the ankles and like a low waist.
Dude, I look so bad in low waist anything.
I don't even want to think about how disgusting I would look. I would look like the fucking dad from Mitchell's versus the Machines. heinous to look like.
I feel like I'd look like one of the Grubhub cartoons. Low rise. I used to wear like low rise jeans, like a good mid rise now.
Yeah.
But also like I wear things too low anyway. Like I just recently learned what my natural waist was. And I'm just like, wow, this is much more comfortable and everything fits better. That's weird.
Weird how that works out. I'm up next, right?
Two in a row.
Okay. I got most of all my picks that I really wanted in. So these are just like kind of dressing to the dot. Let's do Kaminsky Method first. I know it's supposed to be the last season. And it's supposed to be the last season, so it technically is ending, but I just need it gone. I know it's not real. I know it's supposed to be the final season. Just need it gone. Don't care. I need this show never to show up in an award show ever again. I never want to have to read those words, the Kaminsky Method, ever again. Done with that show. Next up, I'm just going to do Parades. I don't like Parades. I'm not a fan of Parades. I love public gatherings. I love doing like stuff with like the town and all that. Parades are just never something that I think we could do without Parades. We could find another happy medium where it's not just sitting there listening to fucking bagpipes for 20 minutes where you're sitting there doing I don't know what. It's never fun. It seems like a good idea for 5 minutes.
What about non-bagpipe parades?
I can't tell you. I can count on one hand how many non-bagpipe parades I've been to. I don't know if that's a Long Island thing or what, but man, those fucking parades love bagpipes, dude.
I like bagpipes.
They make it through every parade. And it's that same song every time. It's the same fucking song every time. And I just, it gets so whiny at a point. Oh, I hate them. Hate them. Just get rid of parades. We'll find it. We'll find a medium.
Kaminsky method of 7.5 points per game.
of only getting minutes after Dario Saric tears his ACL.
Hey, he's about to be an NBA champ. So,
dude, don't say that. Out. Don't say it. Yeah, come on. what the fuck?
Trill, last pick.
It's male pattern baldness. The shit, this has got to stop. Yeah,
agreed.
Come on. I want a pill I can take that gives me hair back. Not talking about the finasteride stuff. Quit that years ago. I just want to grow it back, baby.
Get them threaded, dude. What do you call it? Where they take the hair from your ass and put it on your head or whatever. Get it done.
They did. I thought they took the hair from the back of your scalp. I never heard about the ass method of hair transplants.
Your hair in your ass isn't long enough to be hair.
No, I could grow it with enough determination. But
I say they do. I say you should do it. It'd be so funny one day if you just showed up and you just had a full head of hair. Me too, honestly. If I came in one day and I didn't have this Vegeta-ass hairline, it was receding like shit, it would blow people away. I just would do it for the fun of it.
Yeah, you know what, man? But you get to a certain age and you're just like, you waffle back and forth between not caring and then kind of being like, you know, I do miss the hair. I do miss it. Mm-hmm. Like, Jeff, like, what would your morning routine be like if you didn't have to worry about your hair?
I used to have buzzed hair. Like, I used to buzz my hair, so.
But don't you feel like a large part of your life would be, like, missing if you didn't, like, have, like, the pomade routine in the morning?
Nowadays, yeah.
Yeah. I miss that. I miss the 2008 Dane Cook spike pomade look. Doing that where you'd be out at the bar and the pomade sweat would be just dripping into your eyes.
Wearing got to be spiky or whatever that one
your,
is.
Yeah, your LA one. Looks bottle is just dripping.
Yeah.
Sexy
hair.
It's like, I'm treating myself this month. I'm getting some American Crew.
yeah.
And then you just be wearing your bootcut jeans and your Schmedium polo.
Giant Osiris sneakers. Chain wallet.
Gotta go back to my apartment and watch a B movie.
my last thing is go in-flight wireless.
Great pick.
It's so bad.
I'm never terrible. I drove by. I was going to a bar in Chicago. I might be wrong on this. It might have been brunch, but it was Federale's in Chicago. I was driving there. And I look to my left and I see the go in-flight like corporate headquarters. Like, are you fucking kidding me?
I just thought it was like one guy. Like, yeah, it's like go.
It is always the second you do it, you're like, God damn it, I wasted my money. Mm-hmm. Why did I do this?
I just want to scroll a little bit. And then like it takes you you refresh Instagram or whatever. And it just says, cannot load posts. And you're just like, I'm fucked.
It's not all the airlines that do it now, right? It's like American and United maybe. Mm-hmm. I feel like Southwest has their own.
No, United has their own. That's great now.
Okay. But so it might be American. Like, I know like one of the airlines still makes you do it. And it's always just like, oh, I like, please enter your go-go password. And I'm like, it's been since 2014. Like the last thing I watched on go-go in-flight wireless was the Bruno Mars Uptown Funk video. Like, what do you want from me?
Mm-hmm.
Boom.
Fucking.
Boom, 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 Dude, how happy, like, how happy were wedding cover bands when they heard that song for the first time? They're like, oh, we got another one.
Such a relief, I'm sure.
We got another crowd pleaser on our hands.
Such a relief. Oh yeah, audience is up, right?
Last one. Yeah.
Okay, audience. So this one, I don't know this one. So, and this is gonna be one that you guys know the answer to. So I need you to answer it for me. And it's Raising Cane's Making Coleslaw.
That's like a thing that this person doesn't like.
Yeah, they don't want to make coleslaw anymore.
Yeah,
why?
I'm just assuming based off that reaction that like they had, or based off the pick that Raising Cane's makes terrible coleslaw.
The coleslaw is literally the only thing I can eat at Raising Cane's. So I don't go to Raising Cane's, but everything else because of the whole celiac thing. Well, I guess I can have the fries. Never mind. But I don't mind their coleslaw. I'm a coleslaw guy. I do like the name of the Caniac combo.
The Caniac, yeah.
I just assume that because of that pick that it must have been like a more universal thing that they have really shitty coleslaw.
I just miss going through the drive-thru and being like, can I get the Caniac combo?
Fuck, I want to go so bad. That's one of the restaurants is very, very high on my wish list right now.
I got those crinkle cut fries too. Ooh, I love a nice crinkle cut bowling alley style.
Yeah, I think it is my favorite. I think I ranked that as my favorite when we did types of fries.
Yeah.
Are people like the Texas toast, right? Like that's pretty universally loved. The Texas toast at Raising Cane's.
I know.
Yeah. Mm. Oh yeah.
I do like Texas toast.
Just it's got the little
sauce vehicle.
Sesame seeds inside, yeah. All right. That's it.
Good team.
Space Jam. Come on and slam later on.
A new legacy.
Yes, it will be. It is a new legacy.
My favorite part for those of you that are going to watch it, I want you to look out for it. It's the way they dribble up and down the court.
Curtis Blow, baby. I like. What were some of the other like parodies in there? Like I was reading like there's a Game of Thrones segment in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a couple. There's an Austin Powers moment.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, baby.
So Space Jam on Sunday, then I don't know, we'll make like a basketball team or something. Might have Coley on, see if he's around. He just got married. Congrats to Coley getting married.
Congrats, Coley.
That's it for Ken, Jack, and Troll. I'm Jeff Lowe. We'll talk to you next time.
Have a good week at the box office, folks.